You're listening to the Build and Bloom podcast with host Jessica Whittaker, an educator of film and digital photography to beginners, both in workshops across the globe and online. Creator of the Build and Bloom group on Facebook, one of the largest and most engaged photography communities with over 60,000 members, and founder of nonprofit Sister Sister, a monthly networking group for young women in media. Jessica Whittaker cuts the fluff and will help you to grow your photography business with practical, actionable tips in every episode. If you're ready for a roadmap to a better personal and professional balance, then Build and Bloom podcast will help encourage, empower, and educate you to not only build your dream business, but sustain it. And now, here's your host, Jessica Whittaker.
This podcast episode is brought to you by my Business Basics class. I teach you the 8 essential steps to get your business legal and legit so you can watch it bloom. You'll learn the basics of what is an LLC and the first steps to opening one up, opening a business bank account, how to find an accountant, what is bookkeeping and how can you do it yourself to save some money, what contracts and legal documents to consider and where you can buy them, the starting point for saving for your retirement, how to find a financial advisor, and where to start looking for business insurance. When you avoid getting all these ducks in a row, you are risking getting sued, paying more in taxes, and missing out on turning your income into more money. Head to jessicawhittaker.co/businessbasics to enroll. Hey, photographer, welcome to the Build and Bloom Photography Podcast. In this episode, I am joined by photography educator Eden Strader for her second show here on the podcast. She did an episode a few months back all about branding, and that will be linked down below if you want to catch up. And in this episode, she will be teaching us on combining systems, strategy, and soul to create a perfectly aligned, data-driven business. So we are getting into more logistics and data here. Some of the questions that I'll be asking her are, how do you ensure that data is used appropriately to drive business strategies without losing the human touch? How can businesses ensure that they remained aligned with their core values while embracing new tools and systems like that of AI? How do you approach having a balance of being data-driven while also incorporating creativity and intuition? Eden Strader is a destination wedding photographer turned business coach, leading creative entrepreneurs in building a life of artistic growth, wealth, and freedom. Eden built a 6-figure company before the age of 23. I know your ears now perked up. You're like, okay, what does she have to say about some data? Because I'm trying to get into that point in my business. And she has helped hundreds of business owners step into their dream business. All of Eden's information, as well as a freebie, will be linked in the show notes, the description of this episode. Let's get into it and welcome Eden back to the Build and Bloom Photography Podcast. Eden, I am so excited to have you back on the Build and Bloom podcast. Will you please introduce yourself to those who haven't heard your previous episode? And if you guys haven't, it'll be linked in the description.
Oh my gosh. First of all, thank you for having me on again. I'm like, it was an honor the first time. It's an even bigger honor the second time. I'm like, so honored. But yeah, for those that don't know me, I'm Eden Strader. I am a former destination wedding photographer turned business coach, and I get to help creative entrepreneurs and photographers build sustainable businesses that they love, that enable them to live the life that they love. I'm really big on building beautiful businesses that can help us build beautiful lives rather than becoming all-encompassing, which is really easy when you're self-employed to let your business become your entire life. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
I'm so excited to have you talk about systems and strategy, because this is something that I see a lot online, but it can be very ambiguous. So before we get into all the questions, can you tell us exactly what that even means in the first place?
Yes, absolutely. I feel like, yeah, like you said, it is something that kind of gets thrown around a lot. Like, I feel like systems and automations have almost become like little buzzwords, almost like six-figure photographer is. Like, that's become such a buzzword. Systems are things that you implement in your business to make things run more efficiently and run more like a business. It's really easy for photographers, especially, to get started in making this a job. And the thing that I hear constantly is like, well, I'm an artist first and foremost. Like, I hate the business side of things. I don't like the business side of things. And so creatives avoid the business side of things when in reality, systems are ways to make your life easier, make your job easier so that you can be an artist more often. So you can spend less time doing the quote unquote businessy things so that you can just stay in your lane of genius and let your business run like a business. When I describe systems to people, I think the easiest way to kind of start picturing it is to think about the things in your business that you repeat. Like, what are you doing more than once? And you're probably like, I do a billion things more than once. And that's your opportunity to be like, oh, that can be a potential system. So for example, you have things like client systems. That is, you know, every step and touch point that your clients work through when working with you. There's a really good chance, in fact, basically 99% chance that your clients are hitting the same touch points, even though it's individual, like their experience, but they're hitting the same touch points every time someone works with you. You also have things like marketing systems. You know, if you're posting every single day on Instagram, that's technically an opportunity for a system. So what I tell people is I'm like, repetition is the opportunity for automation. That's the opportunity for a system to be in place. And once you start thinking of these things that you do daily, weekly, monthly, per client, whatever it is, regardless of how often it repeats, once you start thinking of those as systems, you have this opportunity to be like, how can I make this something that flows more efficiently, whether that is with automations, step-by-steps, overheads, which we can get into all of that. But like, there's so many ways to kind of pick apart what systems are to start building them down. But looking at the things that you repeat within your business is like the best place to start.
With all that being said, what role do systems play in creating an efficient and effective business? And how can they be integrated with the overall strategy?
Again, kind of going back to what I said about, you know, wanting to avoid the businessy side of things. Not everyone loves the businessy side of things. I know that. However, the businessy side of things is what enables you to, one, have an amazing client experience and process that leaves people wanting to refer you, but two, gives you the opportunity to have more free time, to have more time to be an artist. So if you invest some time on the forefront to build out your system strategically and specifically, you are then going to free up so much time in the long run. It's going to save you so much time in order to have things efficiently and clearly laid out, as well as better your client experience. And so it's something that's definitely worth investing in. When it comes into, I would say, like client experience and marketing specifically, that's where the strategy kind of comes in. So the way that I explain this to people is, let's say you have sat down, you've written out all of the things that you do repeatedly. Maybe one of those things is sharing Instagram graphics in your marketing. And I use this example because we used to share a lot of graphics. And so we would build them out weekly in order to share them weekly on our Instagram. So that was a part of one of our marketing systems. And with the strategy, we decided to, you know, monthly, we look at all of our data within our marketing efforts to kind of see what's working and what's not. And we realized that making these graphics took a lot of time, but they would always perform the worst on our social media. And so that's where you have this opportunity to have strategy come into place, where it was like, huh, these, you know, tweet graphics we make that take 1 second, those are the ones that do the best, both impressions and with reach. However, these graphics that we spend a lot of time on aren't even doing that well. So why are we doing them? Like, we need to swap those. Let's put our time into something we know is working. And so that's where I really recommend and love teaching people about, like, let's bring in strategy now, once you have those systems laid out, so that you can make sure that the moves that you're making, the systems that you have operating, are being efficient, are, you know, they have a high ROI, they're worth doing. There's so much data provided to us in our business that a lot of people get too scared to look at, when in reality, there's so much information and literal numbers to be like, hey, this is something you should put your time into, or hey, this is something that you should change about your system. This is something that you should tweak with your client experience. Let's say even, you know, you build an FAQ sheet that you send to your clients, but you're noticing that you're still getting this one question over and over again. That's data that now you get to be like, oh, how can I build something into my client systems and experience that makes it so I can answer that question before they even have the opportunity to ask it?
That is so amazing and so helpful. And I feel like that just paints a really clear picture. So now people can listen to the rest of the episode and be able to know how they can implement it in their business. And I know you have a course on systems. And so that will be linked for those interested in the description for anyone who is at the end of the episode and like, okay, actually I need a little bit more help. Can you provide examples of how aligning a company's soul with its business strategy has led to greater success and sustainable growth?
Yeah. So I feel like me as a person and my business in general is really just like this place where like data and science meet like energetics and personal branding and soul, because I believe your business should be beautiful and it should be fruitful, but it also should be something that you like genuinely enjoy being in. If you're going to be self-employed, you should love your job. Otherwise, you should go back to a 9-to-5 and at least have benefits. Honestly, like you didn't become your own boss to like hate your job. That's so silly. So that's why the soul of things is so important to me. I'm huge on telling people like your business should be a reflection of you. So it's almost just like this source of self-expression that you get to show up in every day and share with your clients and share with your audience, because one, you're going to have more fun now at work. You're going to feel more fulfilled. But two, there's no one like you, you know, that's a cliche for a reason. And so the more you're able to show up as yourself, the more you're able to bring your soul into things, the more you're able to differentiate yourself from the competition, which in this day and age is huge. I mean, as you know, I think we talked about this on the last podcast episode, but it's like, there are hundreds of thousands of photographers. There are hundreds of thousands of business coaches. Like I am not the only business coach in the world. Neither are you. And like, our audience loves being in our realm because it's us. Like we do it in our own way and we show up as ourselves to be like, hey, yes, there are other people that are maybe in the same niche, but they don't have the same way of doing things. And that is such an integral part of building a sustainable business, is being able to show what you bring to the table that other people can't. Otherwise, the only thing that's going to be differentiating you from the competition is pricing. And that's such a quick, fast race to the bottom to have to outprice people. Like that is not sustainable. You're going to hate your job. You're going to burn out. And so it's so important that while you're working with the systems and you're working with strategy and you're looking at data and you're making things more automated and efficient, you're also looking at yourself and your personality and your strengths and being like, how can I bring these things about myself into my business even more throughout these systems, throughout each of these touch points.
How do you ensure that data is used appropriately to drive business strategies without losing the human touch?
Such a good question that I love. So me and my team have it set up, like one of our systems is that we do like monthly marketing recaps. And so what this looks like is my assistant, Jamie, or it would be me if it was just me, but we go through each of the platforms that we market on and we look at all of the data. We look at what type of post did best, if there was anything specifically that we tried that month, you know, which emails in our email list got the highest click rates or unfollows. Like we just literally look at every single piece of data so that we can summarize under each platform, like this is what worked this month, this is what didn't work this month. You know, say something hasn't been working for a few months, we're like, let's not put energy into that anymore. What can we try that's new? And so when it comes to using data and making sure you still have that personal touch, look at the data that's provided to you and see what's doing well and what's working, and then apply those topics to yourself. So like, for example, if you're noticing that personal reels where you show your face are performing best, that's your opportunity to be like, how can I continue showing up as myself? Like, how can I show my face more? How can I connect with people? Maybe it's that videos where you know, I'm like trying to think of an example, but like maybe you post photos of what you're eating every day and no one cares, which that sucks. But like, that's your opportunity to be like, okay, cool. I can just enjoy my meals now. I don't have to take photos of them and share that every day. Like what can I do to pretty effortlessly show up and share pieces of my day, but in a way that's different that maybe they haven't connected with before. So taking the data, looking at what it's telling you, but then bringing yourself into that to be like, how can I still show up? Look at the things that you want to bring to the table as a brand and an entrepreneur, right? So like for me, a lot of that comes down to like empowerment and individuality and being okay with taking big risks and taking the path less traveled on in order to get what you want. Like those are such core parts of my brand and me as a human. Like, that's what I bring to relationships with my friends and family. And so when I'm looking at my data, if I see something that's not working or see something that is working, but I want it to work better, I can be like, how can I use this data and make changes to make people feel even more empowered, to make them feel like they have the tangible steps to take big risks and know what to do next. And I can like look at my brand values and mesh them with that data in order to make my marketing efforts go further.
This episode of the Build and Bloom podcast is brought to you by Contractista, my favorite resource for lawyer-drafted photography contracts. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/photographycontracts and use the code BUILDBLOOM15 at checkout for 15% off lawyer-drafted legal documents. Contractista is your one-stop shop for attorney-drafted legal documents for entrepreneurs. Actually, not only are they attorney-drafted by a business and intellectual property attorney, but they're also peer-reviewed by attorneys with over 30 years of experience in contract drafting for multinational corporations. Anyways, Contractista actually has bundles specific for photographers that cover portrait photography contracts, wedding photography contracts, plus some legal disclosures that you have to put on your website. Just like you have to have car insurance to drive a car, you have to have attorney-drafted contracts for your clients and websites to run a business. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/photographycontracts. And protect yourself from that just in case. And you can use the code BUILDBLOOM15 at checkout for 15% off. That's jessicawhitaker.co/photographycontracts.
How then can a business owner identify and address potential misalignments with the company's soul, systems, and strategic vision?
Ooh, okay. I love this question, because I think something that can be really hard in all aspects of our business, like whether that's marketing or client experience, it's really easy to feel like things are out of alignment, whether that's even that you're like, I'm putting in all of this effort and nothing's working. A lot of entrepreneurs will take this approach where they're like, okay, well, I'm showing up on Instagram every day and it's not working. I'm not getting the conversions I want to, so I should do it more. And it's like, no. If something's not working, and when I say not working, that can be that it's not converting in the way that you want it to, or that can be that you're just like not having a good time. It literally, like, the misalignment might just be that it is gruelingly painful for you to post your face on Instagram every day. Don't do it then. Like, that's a misalignment. You have the opportunity to change and pivot. And so that's where I really just, like, if you take anything from this podcast episode, take that you need to become okay with getting uncomfortable and experimenting. Like, it's so easy to get stuck in our ways and just continue doing things that don't make us feel great, or that our clients aren't aligning with, or both, and to just, like, keep doing it because you feel like that's what's going to work eventually. And if it's not working, try something new. Take a break from what it is that you're doing right now and try something completely new and be okay with it flopping. Like, sometimes it flops and that's okay. Like, I hope people know that, like, every entrepreneur and creative that you see online has flops, whether they share them or not. Like, we have had, you know, multiple five-figure launches, and we've had launches that earned $50. Like, it happens. Like, stuff goes wrong, and that's okay. That's also just data that you get to look at. Like, what did go wrong? What did your audience not resonate with that you could do differently next time, or vice versa? What did they like? And that's why you had this multiple five-figure launch. What went well that time? How can you use that in the future? But be okay trying new things. Otherwise, you're never going to get that new information. Like, every time you take action and you try something new, that's new data that you can work with. That's how you can experiment with your audience. Like, truly think of everything you do in your business as this relationship with your audience, where you get to pull them, learn about them, even if the learning is coming from silence, right? Like, maybe no one is interacting with what you're doing. That's still data. Like, that's still like a, hey, no one's resonating with this. And so that doesn't mean you should do it more. That means that you should do something differently. So be okay with looking at your stuff and admitting, like, this isn't working, and that's okay. That's not representative of you or your work. It's just something's out of alignment. How can we pivot this now? How can we try something new? How can we change the messaging or the way that we're showing up or the content itself or the offering itself? Maybe people don't need that at this time. A good example of this is, like, I don't sell one-on-one coaching during the summer. No one has time for it. Like, everyone is busy. So much of my audience is in the wedding industry. And so they're like barely keeping their heads above water in the summer. Like, they're just barely hanging on. And so during the summer, I only push smaller resources, like online resources that can be implemented really easily. So that's things like, you know, marketing workbooks or, you know, simple ways to help your branding or your systems. So they can do it quickly when they're so busy. Whereas in like the winter and, you know, end of the year / like January to February, that's everyone's slow season. That's when they're sitting down. They have this time to work on their business. They have money because they just finished up busy season. That's when we push one-on-one offerings. And I learned that by, you know, pushing those things at all times of the year and paying attention to like when my sales were highest in each arena and realizing there was such a big influx of passive income during the summer and one-on-one coaching during the winter. And so now we can use that data to just like not waste our time by trying to push things that aren't going to sell at that time. So again, that took trial and error though, right? Like that took launching one-on-one offerings and seeing no one sign up in the summer and being like, okay, why is that? Like, I know people need these offerings. They buy them at other parts of the year. What is it about right now that they're not loving? And for, you know, that example, it was a timing issue. And so that's what I mean when I say like, be okay experimenting, be okay with no one signing up, be okay with like no one inquiring with you. Like, I know it's shitty, it sucks, and it feels weird, but like, be okay with being like, okay, this is information, this is data I can look at, this is stuff that I can process and figure out how to do better next time.
Oh, that is really good. When you're talking about when you are posting stories on Instagram of your food and it's just not working, or you're making little vlogs on Reels and they're not working either, rather than if you continue doing it, you can almost also, you get very discouraged and yeah. It's like you feel like a flop rather than realizing that, oh, it's just that piece of content that's flopping, so let me try something new and pivot. So it's also just a way, I love this advice, to not get so discouraged and so caught up in the personal of like, oh, it's me that's the flop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so easy to take it so personally when in reality it's just like, it again, yeah, it's the content with the audience, right? Like another example of this is like, my TikTok is like more of a personal brand. It's like where I talk about my personal life and coming out later in life. Like it's so different than my business. And there was a while where I was like, let me post like a random work TikTok to like see if, you know, that'll take off, because I have built like a decent following on TikTok. And those always flop, like so bad, like 20 views bad. But that same content soars on Instagram. And that's because my audience there wants to see that. And it's not that the content sucks or that I suck or that like I should stop showing up in that way. It's just that like I need to know which audience needs to see that stuff. And it's not reflective of my worth or the content worth. Like it's literally just a matter of like what my audience needs in each space. So just release that pressure, right? Because it's like there are food bloggers and like people like literal foodies where their entire Instagram is just posting their meals, and those people want to see that. Like that type of audience wants to see that. So it doesn't mean that like you're bad or your content is bad or that you've done something wrong necessarily. It's just not in alignment with your audience.
That's very encouraging too for people listening who want to experiment but feel like, oh, I did this one thing that I'm already doing isn't working, so shift and see. Try something new. How can businesses ensure that they remain aligned with their core values while embracing new tools and new systems?
Really, my biggest recommendation with this is to get very in tune with your body. And the way that either like confusion or frustration or even just like misalignment show up for you. Like for me, I can get really frustrated and really frantic feeling. That's like one of the biggest ways I can tell that something's out of alignment is I feel very like rushy and frantic, and like that's just physically how it shows up for me. And so anytime in my business or like showing up for work, I'm dreading something, I'm like dragging my feet, or the opposite, I feel really frantic, I will make myself sit down and be like, where is this coming from? like, have I let a system turn into something I don't actually like want to do or align with? Have I not been clear enough and honest enough with my messaging? Am I struggling with client relationships? Is, you know, what is the issue? I think of it like going to the doctor and like listing out all of the symptoms and then being like, what's the problem? Let's diagnose it. Because again, going back to like what I said in the beginning, like if you're going to run your own business, it should be enjoyable. It should be fun. And I hope people know that like that's possible. It's possible to show up for work and love it. And so if you're not feeling that way, sit down and really figure out where that's coming from. What is the thing that's out of alignment and how can you shift it back that way? Like I had a little blip this year where I signed a couple coaching clients that were like really out of alignment. Like they didn't want to put in the work of what I was teaching them and it was so frustrating. And so rather than putting that on them to be like, why am I signing these people that refuse to implement anything? I was like, where in my messaging did people who aren't willing to implement anything slide through? Like, where did they think this was a space for them? Like, that's on me for not properly communicating that the coaching I do takes equal work on our parts and you have to implement things because I don't own your business. I can't implement things for you. And so that was like something that really heavily like went out of alignment and that was causing a lot of frustration for me. And so rather than just sitting endlessly in that frustration and not making changes, I like made myself sit down and be like, exactly where is this showing up? Exactly where are these people thinking that like this is what this is gonna be or this is a space for that? Because that's up to me to make those changes. This is my business. It's fully my responsibility to educate my clients properly and communicate what I expect from them. And so I feel like at first, when I first started like kind of getting into this more intuitive approach to business, I would almost set like little monthly reminders of like, let's sit down and make sure every aspect of my business feels in alignment. Now it kind of just comes very intuitively where if I can feel the frustration coming up, my brain immediately is like, something's out of alignment. Let's sit down and figure out what this is. But I would almost like, you know, when you work a corporate job and you have like monthly team meetings or whatever it is, maybe set one with yourself, like do a monthly check-in and go through the different aspects of your business, go through marketing, client experiences, the clients that you're working with, your work itself, and make sure that you're feeling fully fulfilled and aligned in each of those aspects. And if you don't, sit there, be okay brainstorming and being like, okay, what has gone out of alignment and how can I shift that for next month?
Oh, that's amazing.
This podcast episode is brought to you by HoneyBook. HoneyBook is a client management program. You are able to have your client submit their inquiry form on your website and have this system automate the entire booking process. So once you get that client inquiry, they're popped at the top of your funnel and booked hands-free. So now instead of the cycle of responding to inquiries manually, answering the questions, following up with ghosted clients, you know the drill. This process should now take you 10 minutes because it is automated. So before we get back to the episode, let's talk about getting paid. Another feature I love is that you can set up a payment schedule with your clients and HoneyBook will automatically remind them that the payment is almost done and it will invoice them. I love that you could set up various payment schedules with your clients. You can break it down by percentage, exact amount, and HoneyBook will do all the math for you. It will automatically remind them when payments are due or about to be due, and it will invoice them. So there's no more back and forth for you trying to track down that final payment. You can head to jessicawhitaker.co/honeybook to snag a free trial with no credit card required to set up. And if you love it, you'll get 50% off your first year. That's jessicawhitaker.co/honeybook.
Can you share some of the best practices for collecting and analyzing data to inform business decisions and to optimize the processes?
Yeah. So I think like one of the best things to think of in all of the things that you do in your business is like, what is the ROI? Like, let me break that down. I don't want to mansplain, but I'm like, that's return on investment. So basically it's like that you want to get out just as much, if not more, out of each action than you are putting into it energetically or financially or whatever that is. So like, for example, if you're running Facebook ads and you're putting in $2,000 a month and you're only making $2,000 a month back, you're just breaking even. That ROI sucks. So you want to make sure that like, everything has a good ROI, but that even comes down to things like client experiences. Like, are you putting a ton of effort into something that maybe isn't getting a good return back, or that like, are you spending a ton of time like putting together this gift box with candles, but your clients don't even like candles, like stuff like that. Like that's such a dumb example, but like, like think about what your clients actually want. And so when you're collecting your data, whether that's like logging into Meta on Facebook and like literally exporting stats, or being like, are there points in my client experience where I'm noticing people have more questions or frustrations, or are there parts of my client experience where I'm getting frustrated because my clients are similar, doing like similar patterns each time? You get to look at that and be like, okay, how can we change this now? Like, how can we alter this? How can I make sure this has a high ROI? So for me, again, that just like comes down to experimentation. But when it comes to like where to actually pull these things from, one, I heavily and highly recommend literally just pulling stats. Like every single marketing platform you have has data within it. Meta has all of your Instagram and Facebook data. Pinterest has analytics, SEO, and like Google GA4. There's so much analytics that you can go through on there. So I highly recommend at least like, even if you don't want to start doing it monthly because you never do it, start quarterly. Like do a quarterly report where you look at all of those statistics and you see what's working and what's not. Because you might not even need to be doing an entire marketing platform you're doing, right? Like a good example of this is like I put in a ton of energy into Instagram just because it's a really good brand connection tool for me. But when it comes to literal website views, over 50% of my stuff comes from Pinterest. So like we really heavily prioritize Pinterest because we get so much traffic from it. But on top of that, you have this opportunity to get client feedback and audience feedback. So one of the things I highly recommend is even one, if you're not, ask for reviews from your clients. That's like an obvious one, but also send out even just like anonymous polls to your audience. One of the most life-changing, business-changing things I ever did was back in 2018, I sent out an anonymous survey to like all my past wedding clients from the last 2 years. And I was like, hey, if you have a moment, I would love if you filled this out. And I asked questions like, how happy were you with the experience? How happy were you with the booking process? How, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy were you with the final product? Is there anything that would have made this a more enjoyable experience for you? And even though like, you know, most of them, like 95, 99% of the reviews were like, great. There are people that were even like, yeah, like I invested so much money in you that like, if I had to name something, you know, I would have loved to see a client gift, or I would have loved to have more calls with you. Right. Like there, everyone's going to be a little bit more honest if they even have like the anonymity behind what they're filling out. And so like, be okay giving your clients that. I think something that's hard about asking for data is like, you have to be okay with the fact that your ego might get bruised, but think of that as like an opportunity for growth. Again, kind of going back to like the nightmare client thing. Like I have had 2 clients in my entire coaching experience that have just been like what I considered nightmare clients, which again, anything I taught them to do, they were like, I don't want to do that. And I was like, what is going on? Like, I don't know how to coach you if you're not going to take my advice or like implement anything. And there were times where I would get so frustrated and be like, is this a reflection of me as a coach? Like, what is going on? Like, why won't these people let me help them? And I had to sit with that and be like, I'm going to take this as feedback that like, I did not properly communicate the fact that I expect my clients to also put in work. So now I need to look at my sales page. I need to look at my client consultations. I need to look at the content I advertise and be like, how can I really properly explain that? Like, I expect you to put in as much working into your coaching as I do. And like, that hurts. It sucks to know that you're doing something in your business that could be better, but like, spoiler alert, you can always be better at something. And that should be exciting. It doesn't mean you're bad or you're doing anything wrong. It's just an opportunity for growth. And think of it that way when you're asking for feedback. It can be an ego bruise, obviously, to hear that you could have done something better. But again, if you can take the ego out of it and just be like, this is an opportunity to serve my future clients better, it's so motivating and honestly exciting to be like, cool, this is a problem I'm not going to experience in the future and something that I can serve my future clients better with.
That's really, really good. People are really like scared to do it just because they feel like their feelings will get hurt or just very nervous and anxious about it. You could probably have a friend look over the feedback form and then just have it written out in a different format, mm-hmm. like present the information differently. That's not as intimidating because that is so, so valuable, but mm-hmm. genius. Could you share a case study with us where you successfully helped a company achieve alignment between their soul and data-driven strategies?
One of my, when I do like my one-on-one coaching or even like my course, System Strategy and Soul, which I'm like, is literally those three words are everything I like talking about, but that's the name of the course as well. We will always start with the brand or the soul of things. Like, I am a firm believer that with the right strategy, any marketing platform can work. Like, there are people that exclusively run their businesses using one platform and it works for them. And that's because they all work. There's no right or wrong. And so what that means is you need to take the business out of it for a second and actually just look at yourself, look at your artistry, look at the way that you want your life to run and really nail that down first. So whether it's my coaching clients or System Strategy and Soul, like we always start with the soul of things because I want to understand like who you are as a person. What do you want to bring to the table? How do you want to interact with your clients? What do you want your artistry to look like? How do you want them to communicate with you? Do you want to take weekends off? Do you want to make sure you don't work after 5 p.m.? Both of those things are true for me. And so then you get to look at those things and be like, now how can we use systems and strategy and alignment and business practices to shape a business that fulfills this dream? So like, for example, a very tangible way of doing this is one of the first things my clients do when they sign a contract is they initial next to something that says like, you're never going to text me. Like it has my phone number and it's you can call this in case of emergency, which spoiler alert for everyone, there's never going to be an emergency. Like unless you're a doctor or a firefighter, wow, yeah. Please. There's not an emergency. Like there's literally not. I'm like, I don't know if that's the one thing people take from this. Creative emergencies like genuinely don't exist.
I really like though that just having the initial next to it so people read it and they're able to mm-hmm. understand it and rather than kind of, you know, it's easy to skip over stuff.
Yeah. So I'm like, I make them initial next to it. It's like, you can use this number if you ever like had an emergency, you know, or like if we're having an in-person meeting and you're lost, feel free to text me,
yeah,
you know, like stuff like that. And it says, it's like, you're only going to email me and any information disclosed to me through like texting or even like Instagram DMs, blah, 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 I'm not responsible for. So what that means is like, if a coaching client Instagram DMs me or texts me and is like, hey, I need help with this, this, and this, I'm not responsible for that. Like you need to go through my email. That's where I keep all of my information. And that's both for my own mental health and to best serve my clients. Next after that, they get like a sheet, let's say that they're moving into Becoming, which is like my giant top tier coaching program. They get like a sheet, like fully breaking down FAQs, what to expect, you know, a list of resources that I love, a list of the programs I use within my business that I love. And all of those are there because they're frequently asked questions I get all the time. So it's easier to just put it in a PDF, serve them better. But they also get something that says like, hey, these are my business hours. This is how often you can expect me to answer Marco Polo's. Like I'm going to set those expectations with you from the get-go. But even outside of like paying me for something and working with me, I'm sure you've seen this because you've emailed us. Like we have an automatic responder that gets sent on. It's on all of the time. It never gets turned off. And it says like, hey, thanks for your email. We'll get back to you within 72 hours because it's really important to me that both myself and my team have lives outside of our screens. I don't want my assistant or me, if I'm the one handling emails, constantly refreshing my email and, you know, emailing clients back at midnight. We sometimes don't respond for days. And like, I want to set that expectation up front before you even pay me for anything. Because if you're a coaching client that's like, hey, I expect to hear from you every single day. I'm like, oh, I'm not the coach for you. Like, that's not how I run my business. That's not how I run my life. I like having a personal life outside of my business. That's how I teach my coaching clients to do the same. So I uphold that myself. And that's kind of the example of like, again, going back to identifying the personal things first. Like to me, it's like, I don't want to work on weekends. I don't want to work on nights. I don't want to feel like my work completely builds into my personal life. And so then I got to be like, what are the systems? What are the tangible things I can do in order to make sure those boundaries are upheld? And that looks like the contract, the setting expectations properly, there's a million, I'm like, we could talk about this for hours on like how to do that in so many different facets of your business. But like, that's an example of how to set the personal life goals, dream business goals, and then build the business around it, because it is fully your responsibility and your responsibility alone to build the business of your dreams with the clients that respect your boundaries. And if they're not respecting your boundaries, that's on you. And you got to change that. You got to make some changes moving forward.
With all that being said, where can people find the course? Or do you want to talk a little bit about that teaching?
Yeah. So if you're looking to kind of overhaul your business from start to finish, like really align with your brand and then start implementing systems and strategy within your business, I always recommend System Strategy and Soul, SSS. It's really important to me that my education is as accessible as possible. So we have a ton of free resources. We have the podcast, we have tons of freebies. But we also have a year-long payment plan for that course because it is a bigger one, so that people like that doesn't have to be their barrier to entry, is coming up with all of that money at once. You can dive into it slowly. And so we have, yeah, up to a 12-month payment plan for that. You can find out on my website, edenstrader.com. But there's also a ton of free resources, so that I always tell people, I'm like, please go through my free resources before you pay me. Like, I think that's one of the biggest things I recommend to people when they're looking for education of any kind, is I'm like, make sure that the educator has a lot of free resources where you can not only learn, you know, if they do this for the right reasons, like they genuinely love helping people, or if they just love a dollar. But also you can like learn if you even like their style of teaching, right? Like, yeah. People probably can tell from this podcast episode, but like, I'm very blunt. I like give honest feedback. I'm like that in my coaching. Again, I expect my coaching clients to be willing to implement the work and work hard. And so that's not for everyone. Like, some people want their hand held. Some people just kind of want to like have a coach that will kiss their butt a little. And I'm like, it's never going to be me. Like, there are coaches for that, and it's not me, and that's okay. It's not offensive. I'm like, I'm for the person that like wants honesty and they want to like improve their lives and their business. Like, that's my client. So always recommend going through my free resources to make sure that you feel aligned. But SSS is always what I recommend for people wanting to like dive into this topic, or if you're someone that benefits more from one-on-one help, our Becoming program opens twice a year, but it's a like 9 to 12 month program of one-on-one coaching, and it's magical. It's my favorite thing in the world.
So everyone can find all of those resources on your website, edenstrader.com.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm like, everything is linked there. Freebies, shop, all of that good stuff.
And where can everyone find you on Instagram or TikTok?
Yeah, I'm like, my TikTok is definitely not for everyone. I'm like, it's a very personal brand face for me. Okay. People are always welcome there because it is very me, but it's more personal life based. But everything is just Eden Strader. I'm very across the board, just edenstrader.com, Eden Strader on Instagram. Only name that's different is the podcast, which is That's My Personal Business. And we talk about all things personal, all things business, all things in between. We have a lot of industry guests, which is really fun. So I highly recommend going there.
Oh, thank you so much, Eden, for coming on again. Again, you're so gifted at teaching and then also just speaking the storytelling aspect, and you're so generous and so kind. So thank you so much for donating your time and talent today to teach on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's such an honor. I'm like, it's always so fun chatting with you. So thank you for having me on again.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Build and Bloom podcast. If you love the show, leave us a review on iTunes to keep it running. This also helps other photographers to find this free resource. Looking for more? Join over 60,000 photographers in the Build and Bloom Facebook group. Just search for Build and Bloom in Facebook groups to join in the encouraging and empowering community. You can also find Jessica's tutorials and tools on YouTube and Instagram at Jessica Whittaker, and show notes and further resources on her website, jessicawhittaker.co. Thanks for spending time here. Catch you in the next episode.